Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches.
Alrighty, welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art history gossip podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I am Chelsea.
And I'm Raquel.
Let's get into it today.
Let's go. Let's do
Ready spaghetti. Okay. All right. I'm going to help you visualize a little bit here. So imagine sashaying down a long hallway lined with gold statues, chandeliers, and Venetian mirrors. Above, you see beautifully painted ceilings with depictions of yourself in the likeness of Greek gods. Look down and you are adorned with jewels, ribbons, and the finest handmade lace. Musicians play for you as you walk on past. You are their one and only muse. The sights are overwhelmingly beautiful. The sounds are overwhelmingly inspiring, and the smells are overwhelmingly stank. Fucking stank. The title of today's gossip topic is Slay and Obey, the Sun King and the Cult of Versailles.
Ooh, I like it.
Right?
Yes. Yeah, when you told me to visualize, I started actually looking at my hands.
Okay, yes. Okay, good.
Like I'm picturing
Obey,
like
the- right?
I am here for it. So who are we talking about?
Okay, this is, we're going to 17th century France.
Okay.
During the beginning of Louis the 14th reign.
Ooh.
Yes, but Louis.
Louis.
Oh my gosh, what a king. Okay, he was four. So he started out four. He a little king.
Little baby king.
Little baby king. He's so cute.
So tiny.
I know. It's daddy died, you know.
Oh no,
daddy. And we'll get into them. But during this time in France, so we'll kind of set the stage a little bit. Okay. During this time in France, it was separated into like little sections, and noblemen were kind of the guys in control, and the king was kind of like, ew, monarchy, like, we're not really that into it anymore. We are disillusioned, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, this is where France was at this time. And Louis, little Louis, didn't like this. And his mommy always taught him that he was the absolute power and had the divine right to rule. He was sent from God. God herself sent Louis down to rule France. So that's fun. So he needed, but he, so he had like ideas and everything, and he was trying to figure out like, how can I get back into the favor of my people?
Okay, got it. So it's like France is like controlled mostly by all these like, you know,
these like
high
society
rich people.
Yeah.
And the king, they're like, fuck you, we do what we want.
Which exactly.
is like very French. It's like very even French. Now, like very anytime French. They don't like something, they just stop.
They just start
working.
Revolting.
Yeah, and they're just like, no, fuck you, change it, which I think is so cool.
Like,
I wish there were more of that here.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, so, yeah. So then, he's like, no,
yeah,
I don't like that.
He wanted to get the monarchy back.
Okay.
And so, yes, he wanted to be the guy. And he wanted everyone. Oh, okay, he's like a little older than four at this point.
So, like, yeah, I'm getting that. He's like growing up through
yeah,
the episode.
He's
I like
this. Older. And he wanted everyone in the kingdom to be like under his full control and surveillance.
Okay.
Ooh. But
dang, Charles Manson vibes, right?
100%. Oh my God, 100%. But how can you do that with like people that are from like far away? Because France is a big place. You know,
yeah.
You're gonna...
I mean, at that point, there weren't like that many people alive, right? Like, well, I mean, there were, but not like Not like today.
Yeah.
They had a little society.
They were okay, but they weren't like, you know, the best and the biggest.
Weren't like plague things happening?
Plague stuff was happening. Plague 100% was happening.
Lots of deaths. Right. Okay.
Dying. Yeah. Everyone's like,
I'm picturing
kind of, we're gonna, you know, die young kind of thing. But like, so let's party. That's exactly what they were thinking. I would think that, I guess, but that's fine. So he wanted to make all these freaking people live together in like a culty situation, like masked in like art and culture and fashion and like fucking rager parties.
Dude.
Yeah, he was ready to show the fuck off. And you think it'd be like in Paris though, right? He's like, he's so fucking over Paris. He's wanting like cottagecore, countryside, nostalgia. He had a little bit of like some trauma baggage from when he was a kid. Some rioters broke in. You know how the French are. They're rioting. You know, they broke into the palace. They were fine. But it just kind of traumatized him a little bit. And
he started,
you know, and that probably started a little bit of his paranoia, which we'll get into, his paranoid attitude. And his honor, he just didn't like Paris. He was like over it. You know, everybody loves Paris so much. And he's like, no, countryside, let's go. So he liked this little, he really had fond nostalgic memories at Daddy's Hunting Lodge in the sticks of Versailles. So Versailles is like a couple miles out of Paris. And like a couple of miles is hard to do without a car or any kind of other transportation besides like horses and stuff. So this was like horse times.
Yeah, I mean, definitely horse times is like 15th century,
horse time,
right?
This is 17th century. But still horses. So they're still dealing with horses. And he just wanted to get out of the city. I so get it. Oh my God, I'm going to tell it to the country. How cute.
It's cute. Like, go away for a little weekend. I mean, obviously he builds a fucking ginormous palace. So.
Yes. We're getting to the big palace.
Okay. So
he was, well, first he still had invites for his noblemen and courtesans, like the fancy aristocrat people in France. He would invite out to this lodge. It was like a chateau, but it was like, I mean, like, it's fucking fancy and super nice, but it was kind of like low key to, you know, for the monarchy to be kind of dealing with people in this little area. But he really wanted to kind of impress them. So he did start hosting these like huge fucking crazy parties for these noblemen to kind of persuade them to be, you know, to believe that he's just like the absolute shit, you know? And he wanted to impress them, so he even like danced for them too. He was a performer. He was a very, very excellent classically trained ballet dancer.
Wow.
And yes, he loved to perform. So this is kind of like, we are getting a little taste of who this guy is in the beginning. But these noblemen didn't really like going all the way out to the boonies. And the lodgings were kind of embarrassing. Like, it was nice, but it wasn't like that big. So, you know.
This is Daddy's Hunting Lodge. This isn't Versailles, right?
This is in Versailles, the town. It's really nice, but it's like a chateau. So it's just like a little mansion, you know, out in the wilderness. But you had all these people there and servants and performers and artists that were out there that, you know, not everyone could kind of fit there. And then they're like, what do? Do I go back home after I'm all wasted? Like, I don't know. I'm gonna go back on this coach and buggy situation. Like, ew, no. So he had a vision and he made a decision to create the biggest, fanciest, and the most garish palace of all time. And not just like a palace, but like a town for all of his noblemen to live under his surveillance. Yeah, so drama already.
So he like definitely wants to know what's going on.
Yes.
Who's talking to who.
Who's fucking who? Who's in everyone's shit? So he wanted to know what everyone was doing because he still had that little bit of paranoia, probably from some trauma. Sure. So he's like, okay, I want to build this fancy palace around my chateau that I have here. So he hired the best French architect of all time, Levaux and later Mansart and Le Notre for the gardens. So he's like, he's got a vision. This guy is an artiste and he's a big fucking show off too. So he's just like, listen, I want the biggest, fanciest thing you can give me. And like these dudes essentially told him like, no, this is a horrible idea. Why? Like, why are we doing this? The surrounding land around this chateau was like mosquito infested, like swampland. And they would literally have to move like forests and bodies of water and like,
oh my god,
and like level foundations. None of that stuff has been like, we can do it here in a minute, but like during in the 17th century, nobody's like doing that often. You're usually like choosing a better place for a palace than like a swampland. But he refused to listen to them and he's like, listen, you got to do it. I'm the king, you got to do this for me. So they were not stopping this pursuit. So they did it. So this little chateau was enveloped with a massive palace with gardens that covered, I have some numbers here, gardens that covered 2,000 fucking acres, 700 rooms.
Oh my God.
And like, between 5,000 and 10,000 people would actually be living there at one time.
Holy shit.
Lots. It's a little
town.
That's
like a shit ton of people. Like, it doesn't, yeah. Like, maybe it doesn't sound like that much. I don't know. But that's like a,
for one
that's
palace?
A fuck ton of people. Like a shit ton of there roommates.
Is, yeah, there is a lot of people there. So in today's money, it was kind of mathed up to be about like $2 billion
Jesus
in today's
Christ.
Money. Yeah. And it took several thousand builders to build it. And so many injuries and deaths of these builders that three extra hospitals had to be built in order to heal the injured builders.
Oh my God,
I know. You
and
gotta
he's
kinda
like... And he doesn't think, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do this. People are, like, fucking dying.
There's a bigger picture that he is much more concerned about, the bigger picture. And these guys were pissed, too. Like, these poor builders were pissed off. Louis didn't care. And if they did express themselves of, like, mm-hmm. listen, I don't really like this, they would be punished, whipped, and thrown in jail.
Holy shit, dude. He's not like, fucking around.
No, but these he are wanted like... it. He wanted it done. Yeah.
But these are like poor people. Like poor people.
They're poor people, so they don't matter, right?
No. Ew. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
They didn't matter.
They don't matter
to
him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. He was seeing the bigger picture and decided that their lives did not, you know, add up to his vision. So he was just fine, build more hospitals. I don't care. That was kind of his attitude with the
it's just like very out of touch, like doesn't know what's going on. I mean, who paid for all this?
It was the kingdom, so the pretty much the taxpayers. And he did have some, he was a great war hero as well. We're not going to talk about like too much of his war stuff.
No, fuck that. I don't care about that.
But he did make some pretty good, victories in war. And at that time, France was actually known for their great war battle, prowess. So they were seen as warriors. I know. They were seen as warriors, which is great. So they built the thing. Like, we got it. And they built the thing.
Okay.
And he wanted, so they had this huge palace and he wanted art. So he was really into making France not only great, seen as great warriors, but also seen for having the best art, culture, fashion, everything. So the walls.
It's so interesting because it's like, he's like, when I think of France, I think of that now.
Yeah.
And I know, like, At least I assume, I don't know this, I don't know why I said no, I assume that French people like that about being French, that it's, like, very chic, very, like, cool, and, you know, the best of the best, but at the same time, look at, like, everything they had to do to pay for it.
100%,
like,
yeah.
So it's, like, an
and they still do, like, they still pay more taxes to keep their, you know, their art and their cities and their culture looking beautiful, all their buildings looking beautiful. Right. So this was kind of the start of, like, France being this hub of, you know, artistic innovation.
Culture and, like...
Yeah, and, you know, architecture. Everybody wants to be France, right?
Oh, dude! Okay, I'm there. So Louis, like, creating this kind of, like, lore, this, like, conversation 100%. Around himself of, like... I'm the shit. And
he's
it's like,
guy. Yeah.
It's kind of true.
He is.
But, like, you know, oh, wow. Okay. Sorry. Continue.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, he is. And he loved art, though. Like, he was definitely a collector.
I mean, me too.
And yeah, yeah. We're like the Baroque bitches. What are we saying?
I like it. I'm kind of here for it. I'm here not for here for it. All the dying and shit.
Yeah, not whatever. That. That sucks. That's sad. But you know, you gotta push through.
It happened, you know.
Yeah, you know, especially that time. People are just dying all over the place.
Left and right, left and right.
Exactly. So he has his palace, and the walls were covered in his favorite artist Lebrun's depiction Lebrun. Of the young, yes, Lebrun, Charles Lebrun, uh-huh. And he was, you know, super, super amazing in design and art and studied under the best guy. Like, he was the guy, the top of the class, this dude. And Louis loved his artwork. So he commissioned Lebrun to make depictions of the king as Greek gods all over the palace. Yeah, this is this guy. This is the guy. Nice. Exactly. And later, he did have a favorite painting that later would be done by an artist named Rigaud. And
it's okay. Nobody expect us to know how to pronounce things.
We're not going to pronounce anything right.
It's like it's so bad. It's going to
so
be bad.
So
it's so bad.
Yeah, I think it's Rigaud. And he loved this painting so much that it was like a faux pas to, like, turn your back at it. So you have to, like, yeah, like, kind of shimmy. You got to kind of shimmy around it. And it would actually, he loved this paint. This wasn't a Charles Lebrun painting, but this Rigaud painting was actually done a little bit later in Louis' life. And he actually, like, loved it so much. And he would actually put it at the, when he was gone, he would hang it at the end of the dinner table as himself. So, like, the painting, he loved it so much that he's
wait,
like.
Wait, was it a painting of himself?
It was a painting of him, yeah, yeah.
That makes it so much better.
So, like wow. Instead, I'm going to do that. I feel like when I'm not home and my husband is eating, I'm just going to hang a painting of myself across the dinner table so he can, like, talk to it.
Like, I would say it's, like, a power move, but it's, like, no, that's just, like, bad shit fucking... wacky stuff.
He's you know, he's an artist, he's that guy.
He said it like he's that guy, like that's so like just I've never heard of somebody doing that before, but I love it. I'm kind of here for it.
I mean,
I'm
here for doing the theatrical. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Oh my god.
So he, you know, he definitely loved himself, and we can get into another famous room because he loved himself so much that he had to have 257 Venetian mirrors in the best room of the house, the Hall of Mirrors.
Yes, I've been there. Yes. Lots of mirrors in that
There's
room.
There's a lot of mirrors. A lot of mirrors. You're going to see a lot. So a lot of mirrors, and this was built by Mansart, and they're Venetian mirrors, specifically Venetian mirrors. And we can talk about some of the drama behind why this is weird. Okay, so Let me get into the Venetian. The Venetian.
Yeah, because like, why aren't they French, right?
Right. Well, we'll see about that drama. So the Venetian mirror makers were the best. You know, they and Louis had to give it to them that the Venetian mirrors, for whatever reason, I don't know how they fucking made them, but the Venetian mirrors, for whatever reason, are the best fucking mirrors. So he had to have them. He had to have the Venetian mirrors installed. So the Venetian mirror makers actually had to be smuggled into France to make the mirrors because the trade secrets were like such a big deal to the Venetians that literal hitmen were out to assassinate these artisans that were hired by the fucking government. And yeah, and it is that it has been said that two Venetian mirror makers that were sent to France did mysteriously turn up dead during this process. So they did not want to get their trade secrets out, but the secrets did get out though. So France actually got the mirror making techniques. So sorry, Venice. France got the techniques of the mirror making.
That's crazy though. Like, I don't know. It's just such a different time. Like, you think like a trade like that wouldn't be dangerous?
Yeah, right. You're just making.
But then it's like anything you can get assassinated for in the 17th century.
You're
it's
just like, over here trying to make a mirror, and you're gonna get fucking assassinated because you went out for a job. Like, bro. Okay.
I mean, was it worth it? Do you think those guys like feel like it was worth it? Because that, I mean.
It's one of those things of, like, I guess it is the most famous room with the most famous mirrors probably ever. Okay, so they built the thing. Let's talk about some drama. So Versailles was the hotbed of gossip, scandal, and rumors. Yes, this is why we're here. So as we know, the king was a performer. And he didn't just dance. Mundane tasks were, like, also a spectacle. So I think, I kind of think this type of glorification was what made Versailles, like, culty. An occult situation. Because he's, like, every little bit of his life was a show. Like, the gross stuff, too. So, like, his most, okay, this is what this guy did. His most favorable nobles would have an opportunity to give him, like, his shirt in the morning and, like, watch him shave. And some of his most favorite nobles would empty his bedpan. That's...
Dude! So these are, like, rich people, too.
Yeah, aristocrats. Aristocats, my favorite. Such a good movie.
I love the Aristocats. Dude, one with the little bow. Marie. She was so cute.
Dude,
that's so crazy. So he's giving me vibes of this girl that I went to school with when I was in elementary school. She was like the new girl in town. And she just made herself like the it girl. Like, everybody wanted to be her. She was very much, like, the center of play, of, like, you know, recess. And everybody would, like bow down to her unreasonable demands. Oh. Like, what a smart, you know. And everybody, like, hated her secretly because she was so mean.
Yeah.
But it was, like, you know, like, but if you didn't obey her, you'd be, like, smited.
Dude.
Like, you'd be, like,
I think we probably all had a girl like that. That's, like.
Right?
She's just so cool and so pretty.
So cool.
But she's a fucking bitch and you hate her. But, like, you'll do anything for just, like, a little bit of attention.
Yeah, fucking Louis, big bully,
dude. Man. But this is exactly what's going on here. Of like,
wow.
So every little dirty little fucking thing, would be done by these noblemen and like aristocrats, and even to the point of like being there when he's going to sleep, being there when he's waking up. Being there when anything, any little fucking thing, people are all around him, which must have been a fucking trip. But it's kind of gross and creepy, but also kind of genius because these guys just ended up fucking worshiping him. And these guys would, like, fight over helping him with these mundane tasks and, like, really, really strive to be a part of his routine. And, like, even when the king would, like, just walk around the palace, getting him to, like, look at you would be a great honor. And the worst thing that he could ever say is, "I don't know him." It's like, ew, you don't even go here. What are you doing?
Oh, go shave your back now. Bye.
Disgusting.
Oh, wow.
So it must have been a trip to have all these people around. And then, but not even the people that he knew, because Versailles was open to the public. And so these people would come that didn't live there, like people that are trying to get in the palace or trying to be a courtesan or trying to be like his lover would just come to Versailles, like just come there and try.
Like you just walk
you
in.
You just walk the fuck in and try to sneak a peek. It's like going to Disneyland and like trying to look for Mickey Mouse. Of, like, where is he? Where's Mickey, though?
A little different.
Where the fuck is Mickey, though? I don't care about fucking Tigger. Get the fuck away from me, Tigger, you piece of shit. I want Mickey. So this is really kind of what they're dealing with. They're coming and trying to see where the king is. And they're all talking about, like, okay, where is he? Where is he? I want to get noticed and to get into his favor. And how you can get kind of into his favor is by like complimenting one another. It was kind of like an art form. So the king like compliments the art of complimenting. The king once asked a pregnant noblewoman like when her baby is due, and the response was, "Whenever the king desires."
No, fuck that. No, I have two kids. Like, no, fuck you, Louis.
So even it was all about just like over the top flattery of just like anything you want. So even like a little glance or a little smile from the king was absolute everything. And another way to get noticed by the king was, of course, the fashion. So this is like the start of haute couture. Everybody wanted to be the most fashionable person there. So during this reign, France became known for their art and fashion because every little detail of your outfit like matters. There's a lot of symbolism that's going on with your fashion, like the length of the linen sleeve coming out of your jacket, like which side your brooch was on was a big deal. It just like communicated your status in society, but it pretty much does that today too. Yeah. You know, you have to wear your Gucci and your this and that in order to be, you know, hanging out with the Kardashians or something. I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't hang out with people that like wear Target brand like clothes.
Yeah. Like, oh man, the fashion that comes from that family is insane.
It's and the Balenciaga of it all.
When she like is in those outfits that she can't walk in.
Dude.
Oh man, man, man.
It was like that different than 17th century France, to be honest.
Yeah, I bet people couldn't probably walk there very well either.
So hot. Like I can just imagine all these layers. You're wearing all these layers. Men and women were wearing several layers and jackets and shirts and things, and like that was that was your status, was the color of your jacket or like what kind of embroidery you have on your sleeves. Like you couldn't just like take off your hoodie or whatever.
No, I mean, yeah, I remember being like fashion being important to me at one point. I mean, it's not now.
Like at all.
I mean, after having kids, it's just like nothing is that important. But I remember being very uncomfortable for a long time. So I can only imagine how uncomfortable. I mean, is this like corset time? Like,
oh, yes. Corsets? Yeah, yeah, definitely corset time, which we all and anybody.
Corset time.
Who was.
Anybody who's wearing shapewear, you kind of know what that's like.
Dude, anybody that was going out in 2010. Knows a good sexy corset top with jeans combo.
Oh,
that was my lifestyle. Corset top with jeans, some cork wedges and a side swoop and a big ass purse. Like,
yeah, girl, side part sisters. I was a side part sister.
I felt so cool.
Ooh, yes.
So anyway, Fashion was like another way. So their fashion was another way that Versailles was a cult, and you can't truly escape from it because they would hold you hostage financially. Your corset is holding your titties hostage, and you are getting held hostage financially with fucking credit. So let me tell you about the credit drama. So Versailles would host these big like fashion markets, kind of like a trunk show. And they would display, like, the hottest shit at the time. So these clothes were, like, these clothes were insanely expensive. Like, a lace collar would be the price of a fucking car. And most people can't afford that. Even the fancy noblemen were like, how can I keep buying all these clothes? They're so expensive. So financing would be available through the palace. So these noblemen, these noblemen and courtesans would end up going bankrupt because having the right fashion was such a big deal. And it's just like you can't escape it. You have to buy these things in order to continue staying at the court and being trendy is... Like, one of the biggest things about being at court was, like, the fashion and, like, what everyone's wearing. But all this shit was, you know, handmade. You're not getting any kind of Shein knockoffs with this shit. Like, this was all hand-embroidered and shit. Like, that would take for fucking ever to make some of these fancy garments. So, these guys were going bankrupt because of it.
Bankrupt for fashion.
For the fashion, which I'm sure still kind of goes on today, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of credit bitch, bad credit bitches out there, like me being one, like no shame. But, but you know.
No, it's the American way, except you're buying groceries and certain people are buying like the smoochie bag. Or like a fucking, No, people, when I used to work at Nordstrom, people... credit cards get declined all the time. Like
you're like, maybe let's not buy your baby Gucci shoes that he's gonna grow out of. Like you need to figure out your card situation.
But people like, I mean,
but
I
hey,
get it. It's like this like status.
They need it. You need to be wearing that shit around certain types of friends.
Oh, so that like almost like wow, it's like part of that started here.
Yeah.
Of, like, trying to be, like, creating that almost, like, mystique. And,
doing fucking anything to be able to buy, like, labels. This is essentially that. Like, doing anything possible to be able to wear the coolest shit. So what are these people actually fucking wearing? Okay, so the guy, Louis was the guy that made the heel. He's not the guy that made the heel, but he made the heel. Basically, it came from something functioning. It like came from Persian horseback riders to keep their heels in the stirrups. However, it also made your beautiful calves look even more beautiful. And Louis was...
Wait, is it all about the calves?
It's all about the calves. And Louis was hashtag short king. He was he was only 5'4", which there's nothing wrong with that. So cute. But he felt a little subconscious about his height. So he wanted to be a little taller. And he really put heels on the fucking map. So any artwork that you see of Louis, he's going to be wearing his fanciest heels and little tights, colorful tights. And sometimes you would so men's calves were the thing. And sometimes guys would even stuff their tights to accentuate their calves. And the heels just made it, like, pop. So.
Damn, I'm, like, here for this, though. Like, an era where men are stuffing and, like, peacocking to impress the ladies, but not in, like, a, you know, catcalling kind of way. It's like, look at my... glorious calves.
I don't think like men's calves,
hot calves,
men's calves just don't get enough credit these days. So
I mean, honestly, my husband has really nice
calves. Yeah,
but he doesn't need to wear heels but like for them, but like if he did, I'm sure they'd,
oh my
like,
god, he would totally slay nice. Hardcore.
Yeah. But no, so every painting I feel like I've ever seen, like, of Louis XIV, I can picture, it's funny you say, that his calves and heels
they were
are always
accentuated.
On display.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can see him posing and like his little foot is always like in the front.
With like a little slit like coming
out. He's doing
out.
Like a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a little ballet pose maybe. Like a
little flex.
What is that? Like
a little flex.
I don't know if it's like fourth position. I don't know. I haven't done ballet in a long time. But it's like where you put your little foot forward and you're kind of showing it off. Yeah, okay.
It looks skinny, but also like muscular. Yeah. So calves
like
were the thing.
Effeminate, but also like glorious. Okay,
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So women didn't really wear heels or anything, but both men and women wore just a fuck ton of expensive fabric with all kinds of like embellishments, lace, ribbons, jewels, embroidery.
Yeah.
Like maximalist, just like the palace.
Yeah. I love this about Baroque. I feel like Baroque, that's like kind of it. It's like,
everything.
Give me more of everything
gold,
all at once, all the time.
Diamonds.
Like, just give it all to me. Drama, drama, drama. Hot couture, love, love, love.
Like, dip
you know,
me
it's just
in
like
it.
Maximalist. That's a perfect
word. Just like
it.
The palace. And if the clothes, another thing, another drama, if the clothes aren't from France, you would be exiled and the clothes would be burned. It has to be French fucking embroidery.
Oh,
and if that ribbon is Italian.
Ooh,
disgusting.
Girl.
Fire.
That is
sent
so
to
crazy.
The fires.
Fire. Sent to the fire. That is fucking nuts. I mean, and that's so on brand, though. It's like extreme punishment for something so tiny.
Exactly.
I love it.
So you can't.
I mean, I don't love it, but you know what I mean? It's just like very of the time.
You just cannot have a knockoff. You cannot get some kind of knockoff. It's got to be French.
Could you imagine, though? It's like you're just, you know, innocently trying to get away with like a little shirt or collar because, you know, you have $100 million in debt and you can't afford anything anymore.
And that's what it was. And then you would be exiled and you wouldn't be able to hang out with anymore. And your clothes would be fucking burned right there. So, yeah. So drama. Lots of just showmanship, even with the punishments. I love it. So let's talk about the ladies. Okay.
Yeah, tell me about the ladies. I mean, so Louis was fucking, right?
Oh, my
like,
God.
He was like,
oh, my God. So, okay.
He was getting it on.
Louis preferred to be in the presence of women for their beauty and their wits. So he was like a girl's guy for sure. And he was like a big ass hoe, 100%. Big hoe. And he had his queen, Maria Theresa of Austria. And he like loved her.
Yeah, they always have queens though.
Yeah.
They always have side bitches too.
And they did marry for, you know, political reasons, which most monarchs do. And he loved her and everything. And he did his husbandly duties. Like he fucked her and stuff too. But he needed like way more. And she was for the most part pretty cool with it. She gets it. Because it was kind of looked at like if the king was very, very sexual, it was kind of like it was good and bad. It was kind of looked at like, okay, yes, he is, you know, a virile man. And then it was also looked at like, wait a second, we are like Christians here or Catholics here. Is that a good thing? So there was a lot of like confusion there, but he didn't care. He was just a big ass hoe. And he had a shit ton of mistresses, which we'll get into, including his brother's wife, who was also his first cousin.
The wife or
his brother's wife was one of his mistresses, and his brother's wife was also their first cousin. So there was some like incesty.
Is that like normal, or is that like at this time? Is that normal?
It was pretty
right?
normal because they wanted to keep the bloodline pure, even though it like kind of fucks with your bloodline a little bit. Like you want to start introducing some more genes in there, but they didn't really know any of that stuff. So they're totally fine fucking cousins. And
cousin fucking.
Yeah, some incesty juices. And he has said there's a lot of like conflicting information about how many kids he actually has, but it's like at least 20 kids.
Okay, Nick Cannon.
Right.
What up,
just a shit ton of kids. And these bitches just ruthlessly befriended and betrayed each other to, like, get closer to the king, to be in his, like, favor. And, to, like, if one bitch is starting to get a little ugly because she has five fucking kids from this guy, then there's somebody right behind her ready to swoop him up. And
oh, jeez. That sounds so stressful. It's so, like, you just have an expiration date.
So fucking stressful. So there was a couple of main ones, but I gotta talk to you about the first one. So who he lost his virginity to, and this is Catherine Bellier. This is his first time, and this woman was his first time was 14, and his mother actually was the one to set this up. So thanks, mom.
What?
Like, so nice. Thank you so much, mom.
Oh my god.
This is actually one of her servants who is said to be ugly but smart. So that's cool.
Okay.
Like, we love that.
Listen, we love that. I'm all about it.
We love that. So the reason that his mommy really wanted to make sure that this guy is fucking is because his daddy, Louis XIII, was probably gay. And his mom was like, a lot of that wasn't, like, understood. And his mom was like, right. I don't want him to have, you know... It's not an issue, but at the time it was an issue. He's like, I don't want him to have this issue, so I'm going to make sure he's, like, in the pussy right away. So he got set up with Miss Catherine. She was 38, and he was 14. So that's nasty.
I mean, I remember when my mom, like, at a, like, restaurant would be like, to the waiter, like, oh, is my daughter pretty? Like, you know, trying to make that happen. Yes. When I was little, or not little, but, you know, when I was like,
he's cute. Know, he's cute.
18 or something.
Do you want to go talk to him? Like, he's cute.
God, can you imagine your mommy, like, I set up a fucking, like, a sex session for you.
I'm going to forward you this booty call.
What a weird time.
Weird time. So he lost it. He lost his virginity, and he just couldn't get enough. So he had...
I mean, yeah. 20 kids. She got her wish. It worked, I
yeah,
guess.
Yeah, no, totally. He was very, very, very energetic. when it came to that.
But obviously, he was just straight.
Yeah. I think he was straight. It is said that it's mostly just the ladies. He just liked to be with the ladies. And we have a couple of bitches here. We have Miss Louise de la Vallière. She was, like, gorgeous, a good dancer. And this other girl. Oh, well, then we got to talk about Henrietta. So the Louise was actually Henrietta's maid of honor, like her, like, little chick that would hang around her. And Henrietta is actually his brother's wife. So... Henrietta, he was fucking his brother's wife, who was the cousin.
Right. Okay.
So a little bit of the family tree is like more of a bush than anything. It just kind of cycles around.
Just branches everywhere, yeah, crisscrossing. Like,
how
and shit.
Are we related in all different kinds of ways? So the king fell in love with Louis. Then he fell in love with Henrietta. Louise then felt, like, really ashamed of all of this, and so she fled to a nun's convent to become a nun. And King Louis was like, No, you can't go. You can't be a nun. And he kept, like, getting her back. And so there was all this drama between Henrietta and Louise and of course, the king, too. Then the king fell in love with Madame de Montespan, who was also Henrietta's, one of her bitches. And she actually wanted to be his new mistress, you know, because he's like, okay, all these other bitches are kind of like getting through all these kids and stuff. Like, I'm all fresh and ready to go. And he loved Madame Montespan. Like, she thought she was the shit. So he actually, okay, this is fucking drama. He actually moved her into the room next to Louise, who was pregnant with like his fifth kid. So so it was very much known that she was being replaced.
She's out to pass.
Yeah, of like, oh great, you're gonna move your new mistress in I'm on my fifth fucking kid.
Cold.
Yeah.
That is cold, like,
and
Louie.
She's hella pregnant for so many times, and like
I can't imagine.
And
no, when I was pregnant, I was just like so demanding of my husband.
Can you
both
imagine
times.
Like, being pregnant with your like, fifth kid?
Do you know how many glasses of water were gotten, and then having to go back because it needs more
ice? Dude, and that's like, not even so it. This Montespan bitch humiliated Louise and made her like assist her with shit, and like Louise kept
no. Dude. This is like Ever After vibes, right? With the stepsisters.
It is
mom.
Total evil stepsister vibes. Oh my god, like, it's pretty much. And like
she like dropped something and she's like, can you pick that up?
Dude, and Louise, this poor girl, Louise, kept taking on the embarrassment to see if, like, she can get King Louis back, just to see, like, okay, well, if I'm at least around him, maybe I can have a little bit of this. So, it was a lot. There was another one, Miss Olympia Mancini, who was friends with Henrietta, and she also hated Louise. Like, everyone hates Louise. And then Henrietta mysteriously dies. And Olympia was actually accused of poisoning her. And then Olympia fled the fucking country right after that. So lots of drama.
As you do.
Lots of drama with these bitches, and they were having sex. Fucking sex.
What's the deal with this stink? Why is it so stinky?
Okay. So nobody bathed. Nobody bathed.
Yeah, that would do it. Because this is like plague times, right?
Yes. Like, who is getting horny? Okay, so nobody bathed. They just didn't because of the plague. And the plague was around, and people thought that bathing, like, led to sickness in your pores or something about your humors coming out of your pores. So, like, even dipping in warm water was considered dangerous because it, like, opened up your pores. And then your humors would come out, and I guess...
What are your humors?
Well, that was pretty much... the medicine at the time. So yeah, and this was something that kind of led to all of like the bleeding, the leeches, like
your whole
body is made up of like several humors, and they thought like blood could be purified, and like gross pus and stuff needed to be leaked out so you could kind of regenerate your humors. I think it was like they thought all of our like bodily fluids needed to be like cleaned out in a way. So that's what happens when they're kind of talking about the humors of like that your humors are being cleaned or bled or things like that. So it was
so basically everybody's dumb and they're not bathing and and science is stupid at
the time. Doctors were not good. Like, if you're going to a doctor, it was like, shit dude, like this is gonna hurt.
This is gonna hurt, and also you're probably gonna die.
Yeah, they were still pretty much in the vibe of like, if you're getting sick, you angered God kind of thing. We're still sort of in that vibe. So nobody is bathing. And the only time you would be in water was just to like cool down from a hot day. So like you're not like scrubbing or anything. So basically you would just take a dry wash, which is basically like a horse bath, but that's it. Like you can wipe a little bit, but that's about it. Because you don't want to be like putting too much warm water on your skin.
Dude, can you imagine like the chafing?
Dude, the chub rub. All the chub rub and like the rashing it. Okay, so
oh my god.
There was really bad rashes and bites, and you would have body lice. Hair lice, parasites, all kinds of stuff, because you just did not fucking bathe at all. So, dude. So to combat the stank, cause it was like BO that we can't imagine today. Like, we don't know that kind of smell. It's just gotta be like rotting ball sack, like gross fucking stank, stanky ball, stanky, stanky vagine.
I'm like so fish. Like crusty. So like dying, like skin, and just like,
yeah, all of the excess
sweat
crust. Yeah, the crust. So it was stanky. Oh, these guys were stanky, and they're fucking all the time with the stank. So to combat the stank, of course, France is known for perfumes. So they would wear perfumes, and Louis really loved like a citrusy smell. So the stank was so bad, and to combat this, he even planted orange trees for their like nice citrusy smell, and to try to cover the stank. It didn't work. Like,
yeah, no, that sounds like dropping it didn't the fucking ocean work for the stank. How to fix that.
And so we can talk. Okay, let's talk more, because there's so much more about this gross, stanky, nasty shit. So they have they didn't have a lot of bathrooms in Versailles, and with like pretty much 5,000 people walking around and needing to pee and poop, they had a couple of different things that they would do. So they had piss walls. So they had piss walls. And people just used either these piss walls or bedpans.
Wait, so they just, a piss wall is just literally exactly as it sounds?
Yeah, so they would kind of designate a couple of walls in the palace area for dudes to like go and pee on. And then they would kind of like chat and probably gossip a little bit on these pee walls. And and the ladies would, because of course the ladies can't go on the piss wall. So they carried around their bedpans like in their dress, I guess.
Oh my God.
This is kind of what I got. Like, they would just like have it on them, and they would just like squat over it at any given moment. Like, they would just be like, oh, how to do? Oh, hello. And they would just squat like with their big dresses and just put their bedpan under their pee. And like they would even do this in church, and it was said that that bitches would be praying, but then you would hear the bitch next to you like peeing in her pan, and like you could hear it as you're trying to like pray and shit. So I don't know, like they just was no shame at all. Like they were just,
because aren't these like, it's like carrying around like literally like a pot from your kitchen.
It's like, yeah, right? Exactly.
Like, and it's like a cast iron one probably, or something really heavy.
Totally. And they would just like and carry just it around, like, and you would hear just,
and then you just hear like
yeah.
But it's like that very like Hollywood pee sound of like pee against metal.
Yes. Like, I mean, right next to you as you're chilling. Like, you would just, these guys are just too rich to have to excuse themselves. Like, they're just going to do it right next to you during a conversation.
But it's just like all the layers too. Like, there's no way pee is not just like everywhere.
Oh my God.
All, and what do you do stuff afterwards? Do you just leave the pot on the ground?
Well, it was said that, you know, if you are peeing in the building, that a lot of times the people would just chuck it out the window or something. And a lot of times people would be like under that and would get like a great like piss and shit shower.
Oh my God.
So people had to like look up and like be careful, because somebody might like throw their pee on you. And you are fancy. You're in your expensive clothes. No,
and you're in like $1 billion clothes.
And you would get piss and shit all over them. But I guess,
dude, that is like the grossest fucking place.
Yes.
It gives it like a whole, you know, I kind of love that though. Like, some of these details about the Baroque times are just like so, you know, opposite, I guess, of what you would think of like high society. It's just like, filthy and fucking.
It's like so beautiful. You have all these beautiful works of art and all these gold statues and every gorgeous gardens, and y'all are just pissing and shitting all over.
So what do they do if they pooped?
Like, they would poop in their bedpans. So they would poop in their bedpans too. So they're not like going, even when they're sleeping, like they're not like going to the restroom. Like they're just pooping and peeing in their bedpan. And then like,
well, emptying. I knew the bedpan's like normal at night.
Yeah.
But like,
even they would, even during the day, because there's not too many restrooms. They did have bathrooms, but it's just like they're not going to be bothered to go to the bathroom. And it was just,
I mean, if everybody's doing it,
why right? not? Like, and I feel like that kind of, that probably did get into the culty vibe too, because like I don't think everyone was doing this in France. Like there would be reporters from this time that would go to Versailles and like check it out and then fill people in as they come back of like what this place looks like fill the normal people right. in. And they right. even they would say that it's gross, it stinks, like the people are just shitting everywhere, it's covered in piss and shit. And
dude, that's so insane.
Even yeah, like, can you even the people at the time
reading about the White House and being like,
there's pee walls
full of, there's pee, people are shitting in pots, throwing out the window.
Like I think even probably some of the like just the peasants and stuff, like I don't think they were doing all of that. Like they were probably excusing themselves to like an outhouse or something like that, or at least like going behind a bush or something. But like, no, you're just gonna pop a squat right here in fucking church.
Dude, that is so crazy.
So let's see, what else do I have to, oh, I have makeup. So makeup became really fashionable here too. The makeup was kind of before this time, it was kind of meant for mostly sex workers. Okay. So they looked hot. So they were like, listen, we want to look hot like these hookers. And
yeah. And they were like kind of into sex workers too, right? Like were there hookers at Versailles?
Well, I don't know if there were actual hookers at Versailles because I think people, well, I think, you know, it's kind of like you're probably giving some kind of service for moving up in society. Right. Like you're sleeping so with the right people. So maybe a little kind bit. Of hooker. Yeah. Like a little bit.
More of a call girl. Like,
yeah.
Somebody who's sleeping with somebody for, I guess.
Yeah, or, okay. yeah, to rise up in society. So,
got it.
But they,
so, but yeah, they're like, hookers look hot, so let's get the makeup in.
Yeah, because they weren't like wearing makeup before because it was seen as kind of taboo of like, oh, got you're it. Only going to paint your face if you're that kind of woman. But they were like, no, we should probably do it because they look so hot. And men and women both wore makeup. So this makeup was mostly just white powder and red blush. Right. So you'll see
the clown face, like
totally
white face,
totally white situation. Face. So you want to be as pale as possible, because this kind of indicated that you're not working outside, that you're an upper class, you don't have a tan. So tanning was not a thing then. You wanted to be super pale, so pale that like they would even draw on like blue veins on their like chesticles, to show like how see-through I am.
I'm translucent.
I am so look pale that like you can see my blood underneath my skin. So, I mean, I think that's kind of maybe where blue blood kind of came in. So they wore this powder and blush, which was actually pretty toxic because it contained lead and vermilion and mercury,
oh
along with like ugh. Other toxic elements. Because lead is known to kind of like
cancer.
Brighten, yeah, like it's gonna brighten a color, but it's also gonna like be really bad for you. Yeah, it's like super toxic to put it on your skin.
Yeah, it's like banned everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So. And this powder was also used on their wigs to try to combat the stink. So, everyone's wearing wigs because their hair is just too hard to manage because nobody's washing it. So, a lot of people would either, like, totally just shave their heads or maybe just, like, put their hair up underneath their wigs. And none of this was being washed. It was just being powdered. So, you're still getting, like, parasites and all kinds of stanky stuff up into your wig. So, they would use this toxic white powder to like combat the greasiness and like maybe kill some of the bugs. But even the king's wig had like so many parasites that he got this famous neck rash that lasted like forever because of all these like little mites and bacteria. Like, they imagine the bacteria.
Dude, so is this like a Versailles thing, or is this like
this is like everywhere? This is thing. Versailles, but also Versailles is kind of since it's becoming the kind of the hub of culture.
Center,
yeah, that all. Like, you know, soon the, you know, the English aristocracy was doing this because of like the traveling and the trading, that they're also trading like, you know, trends and things like that. So definitely like this went from people not wearing any makeup to wearing a ton of this toxic makeup. And you might, right, like, assume that they didn't have much of a skincare routine either. So, right, like, the harmful chemicals in the makeup would cause this acne and pockmarks and blemishes. And to cover the blemishes, people would wear, like, these fake beauty spots and like fun shapes. And it was totally fine to wear like 20 beauty spots all over your face and chest at one time.
Wait, I kind of love that though.
Yeah, they had like little stars and hearts and stuff. And it was also kind of fashionable. Like, I forget all the little codes, but if you put one spot like under your eye, it means something, or you put it on your cheek, it means something, right, else. Like, I'm available, right, or I'm horny or whatever.
Or I've got pop marks. I've got my skin is falling off. Don't look too close.
Also bad breath. Of course, these guys also had bad breath. Sure. So to combat bad breath, they would wash their mouths out with tobacco and urine. So wait, that's also what we're doing.
That is so nice.
Yeah, like urine, I guess, is like kind of some sort of astringent like thing.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, right, come on, is it your, I don't know if it's your urine or it's urine from somebody else or it's like virgin urine. I don't know where this information came from, but that's what I got.
Let's just hope they were drinking a lot of water. Yeah. But I bet they weren't. It's like hungover wine urine.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like bright. Like,
is it the yellow?
It's brown.
Yeah,
urine.
The stinky urine, or
Or is it like the, like, you drank like 10 glasses of water and it's almost just like slightly tinged
a little bit of pee
water?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Ugh. And the king's tea. Ugh. The king's.
Oh, this episode is so gross.
So gross, dude.
It's like making my skin crawl.
There's even, ugh, way even more gross stuff that we're going to get into. So,
oh my God.
I know we're almost done, but there's going to be some gross stuff because the king himself was just not the healthiest guy at all. So King Louis's teeth were pretty intense. He was born with a rare tooth condition in which he was actually born with like two teeth already in his mouth, and I guess this happens like once in a while. And this made him like totally suffer from all these toothaches from all his life. So and it didn't help that he ate like a lot of sugary fruits and pastries and things like that, that only rich people would eat. Get sugary it. Stuff
yum, yum.
I get it. So to ease the pain of this like toothache thing that he would have from these two teeth that were still like in his mouth, he went through this like really clumsy tooth extraction procedure that pretty much like botched his upper palate. So it was really gnarly and would like fill with pus. He's like fucking bitches all over the place with this crazy mouth pus situation. So I don't know. And he also suffered from like a lot of different ailments, including like migraines, UTIs, intestinal stuff, gout. And he had this,
he's got it all. Every ailment, like a host of ailments,
every fucking thing. And it's gotta be a little bit about like not washing, like having just all this bacteria on you. And he had this horrible, this like almost like famous horrible anal fistula, which is just like a a big nasty abscess in your butt. And this, people do get this. This is not a like totally uncommon thing, actually. So I am so sorry.
If you have it, we're here for you.
I am so sorry because that sounds fucking awful. So if you've had an anal fistula, you can actually thank Louis the 14th for developing, for having his team, of course, develop new procedures to ease this horrific pain. So he had this anal fistula in his butt, and his doctors tried to make it better, which, you know, they don't do. So they're like, you know, bleeding it, like poking it with irons and like
throwing
whatever they can throw at it. And then finally he just asked his barber to cut the thing out. So barbers did surgeries back then. So his barber,
which says a lot about medicine at the time.
You trust your barber a lot more with like a surgical procedure than you would like a doctor. At this time. Yeah. So barbers were kind of like the shit here. So they cut hair, they style hair, and they cut out
Your butthole fistula pus pockets.
Exactly. So his barber, Charles Francois Felix, developed.
Wow, nailed it. I hope that pronunciation.
I have no idea. developed this like special scalpel called the Royal Probe. And tested it. Of course, he had to test it on like a bunch of prisoners. I'm sure like half of them died.
That's so fucked.
But he finally kind of perfected it, and he cut off this abscess during a 3-hour operation. The king, of course, he was such a proud performer that he didn't even flinch without anesthetics. And this procedure actually like advanced surgical procedures in the 17th century. So people were like really stoked about it and getting this done. And so he was actually healed at like fucking surgical procedure.
The doctor just sounds like Dr. Pimple
Popper. Yeah, this surgical procedure, 17th century, and it was successful. So he didn't have any ass pus after that.
So I Googled him during this to get like, you know, a visual. And one of the questions on Google more to ask was, who was the king with two buttholes? And I'm guessing it's because of this anal fistula.
Yeah, because he basically had to cut like a hole in it. And I think it did end up healing. And he was said to be fine after that for the most part, except for all the mites on his body and hair. and
other things,
skin falling off, probably some weird penis stuff, but I don't know any of his STD problems. But we can take an ass pus break and get into some culty stuff. So the king was like super paranoid as fuck. He made all of his court literally live with him so he could control them. So he hired spies, so people would be writing letters back and forth, and he didn't like that. He didn't like that you're just writing letters about whatever fuck. So he hired spies to read every piece of mail that was sent, but at the time, most mail was sealed with like a personalized wax seal to prevent people from opening it. But if someone did open, you would know about it. But his spies actually developed a way to like copy a seal and reseal letters with their special typography thing. So if you wanted to send a secret, you would have to use codes. And so Louis caught on to this. So he hired the best cryptographers to decipher these codes. So you were just you're never going to get away with shit here. And these codes were like supposedly so intricate. And he got people to fucking crack them. So if they are sending away things like any kind of secrets or any kind of gossip, you know, of course people are like living at Versailles and they want to fucking write to their cousin about the fucking gossip and all the fucking shit that's going on at Versailles. He wasn't having that. So then they would be exiled if they were caught sending codes to other people. And he was paranoid about the war stuff, wow. too, and blah, blah, blah. He had enemies. Sure. So he was so paranoid about the people around him that he would actually record everyone's, like, height and weight and hair color and any kind of, like, you know, scar or any, you know, exactly what they looked like. So he would, like, have, like, files on people, that all the files of people that was around him. And it kind of, like, you know, this... I kind of understand, like, wanting to stay safe because who knows who your friends are. But he really didn't actually have, like, actual real friends except for his servants. Yeah. Right. Which is, like, I get it. It's not wrong because everyone wants something out of you. You're the king. So, I mean, it's not wrong that he felt like, I don't really have any friends. So his...
Yeah, it's... And especially because he's, like, a huge asshole.
Yeah, right? I mean, that too. Like, that he's... He's fucking crazy.
He's like such a dick, it sounds like.
Yeah. But so his friends were his sense. Servants, including his valet of 40 years, Alexandre Bontemps. And this dude even slept in his room. Like, not even the queen slept in the room. So this guy right. knew everything about Louis. And Louis fucking loved him as a friend. So much so that he made him the governor of Versailles. So this was like one of the most powerful positions at court. And the king was right. said to have loved his servants more than his own children and would often promote them to powerful positions at court. So this kind of started like the middle class in France, which like later on would be a problem for the monarchy if
right.
you know that, you know, Marie Antoinette thing, they got their head chopped off and all that stuff.
Right.
So this kind of sparked that a little bit of poor people getting better positions and right. starting to get up from like impossible positions that they would never be able to have if it weren't for like being close to the king. And they were right. the most close, like more than the noblemen's, because they really did all of the shit. So they would be put into these positions because the king trusted them more than the noblemen that were just trying to get a buck. You know, these guys were like, okay, you want to promote me? Sure, I'll do whatever you want, man. And thanks, you know, and they were more humble, you know. So this kind of started the middle class in France, which kind of said like no to the monarchy later on, a couple generations later. Right. So that's cute. Let's get into his brother. He had a brother, Brother Philippe. He was the spare.
Philippe.
I know. Let's get into his brother. So, like, his brother is fun and also kind of tragic. So let's get into the brother drama. Of course, there was some crazy fucking brother drama. So this guy, Philippe, was called My Little Girl by Mommy. Yeah, so he wouldn't be...
That'll do it. Yeah, that'll mess you up.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be, like... He wouldn't feel, like, a threat to Louis. Yeah, because Mommy was very much like, okay, Louis is king, and you're my little girl. To really, like, beat him down in a way, and to just make him feel like shit. But Philippe was interesting. There was always, like, a 100% a rivalry there. And Philippe was interesting. He was a powerful warrior and a collector of fine art, and also an icon of current modern French LGBTQ pride.
Okay. Yes. So this goes that direction. Yes. That's good.
Yeah, he would often show up to parties in ornate women's dresses.
Oh, I love that. I know, we love
Philippe.
He, like, so maybe this story isn't like, oh, she just assigns his gender. Maybe he, like, was like, yeah, I feel like, you know,
I think I'm a girl. Yeah. I don't know if he felt like he was a girl or he just kind of liked the women's fashions better. He did. Now, little kids during this time would wear dresses, and he right. actually, like, his parents actually made him continue wearing dresses, even into adulthood, which I think he kind of liked anyway. Right. So, and then he would show up to, and he was kind of fluid in what he would wear. Gender fluid, right. Like, he would wear men's clothing, but he would also fucking slay in some dope-ass women's dresses at, like, parties and stuff. And I think, like, it kind of just to show up Louis a little bit too, like, yeah, people are looking at you, but they're really fucking looking at me too, bitch. And if it's in a good or a bad way, I don't give a shit. So he's right. Kind of cool. And he had this longtime lover, Chevalier de Lorraine, but he needed an heir to his estate of Orleans. So that's what kind of he was assigned to, was this estate of Orleans. And so he asked his brother to help him find a wife, because you got to have an heir, regardless right. of your sexuality. You got to be producing kids. Right. So Louis arranged the marriage of Philippe and Henrietta, his bitch.
Okay, so this is Henrietta.
Yeah, so this is coming back to Henrietta, and she was the Princess of England, and they had, like, an okay marriage until she began an affair with the king himself. And by the way, Philippe, I'm pretty sure he's still fucking his lover, this Lorraine guy.
Even if he's, like, not into her, it sounds like it's, like, deeper than that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Like, it's, like... It's not about that necessarily. It's about, like, this rivalry. Totally. Right?
Yeah. So there is. So he's pissed off at Henrietta for fucking the king. And I'm sure Henrietta is pissed off at him, too, for having this gay lover. So major fucking juice. So Philippe retaliated by flaunting his male lovers around her. And she retaliated back by seducing these dudes herself.
Dude, what? Like,
this couple is just the most petty fucking shit. Then she convinced King Louis to imprison his favorite lover, Lorraine. And then he then had to plead with his brother to release him. And the juice is fucking real.
Oh my God.
So he did.
Poor Lorraine.
Yeah, Lorraine was in jail for a little bit, but he
got caught up with the wrong throuple.
Yeah, of like, oh, I'm so sorry. But they still were, like, in love. And he ended up getting him out of jail at some point. So Louis had some jealousy against Philippe as well. So Philippe was super being into, like, on top of slaying hardcore in a dress, he was super being into, like, this warrior hero, and begged Louis to be, like, in the front lines of battle. So Louis was like, all right, fucking fine. Go in the front lines of the Battle of Cassel. So it's just one of these big wars that they had. And Philippe actually fucking slayed. And he won. Yeah, he was at the front lines. He was, like, the guy that led the army. And he slayed hard and led the army to victory. And fucking Louis was so jealous of his brother's success that he had a painting done of himself slaying rather than Philippe, and forced Philippe to retire from the military.
Oh my God. That's so fucked.
I know. So Philippe holds, like, kind of a special place in my heart, and he's still a major icon for the queer community in France. So we love him. And yeah, he probably looks super cute in a dress. And I think he at least had, you know, Louis didn't really have, like, an actual love. But he might have had one a little later on. But I feel like Philippe had, like, a pure love with this Lorraine. And at least he had that. Like, at least he was living a fabulous life and blah, blah, blah. Even though he was in the shadow of his brother his whole life, at least he was getting fucked. And I see him as just, like, maybe a power bottom, like, something like leadership, but also, like, you know, taking it too. I love him. I love him. So let's get into his end of life. So towards the end of King Louis's life, he secretly wed one of his other mistresses, Madame de Maintenon.
Let's just call her Maintenon.
Call her Madame.
Madame.
Yeah, and so the queen died from an abscess earlier that year. Just like a lot of abscesses going around 17th century France.
It adds up, makes sense.
And this lady was intensely religious and pious. She actually started out as the governess for all of illegitimate kids. That's like the nanny. So she was like the nanny for all of his kids. And at first the king didn't really like her, but her motherly instincts were pretty great. And the king started to kind of like her when he was ready to settle down a little bit later on in life. And she was hella boring and, like, prayed all the time. But in the king's old age, he was kind of ready to, like, pray some of his sins away, you know, and be boring and chill. Because he was, like, over the parties, you know. So they were just kind of boring together. And then the king fell ill, of course, a super gross, gnarly, painful death. he had gangrene in his leg and poisoned his bloodstream. And they said it was like, because of course all these people are still around. All these guys are always around. And these people are saying like his bedchamber smelled like the worst thing because of this like rotting leg. Ugh, like, dude, just like a slow agonizing death. And he died at the age of 76. He had a 72-year reign. So that is the longest reign ever, right before Queen Elizabeth at second place at 70 years. R.I.P. Elizabeth.
Wow, R.I.P.
Yeah, so yeah, he had kind of a sad end of his life, but of course his legacy lives on in Versailles that you could still visit today. Yeah, and walk and wear a powdered wig if you want. And they have bathrooms there now, so that's fine. You don't have to pee.
Been a little retrofitted. I think like part of it burned and they rebuilt it or some shit, right?
Well, it was Louis the 15th, so his kid after Louis the 15th was kind of a bummer. And but he did put more bathrooms in Versailles.
Oh,
so
thank God.
So yeah, so he was like, let's not do this so much. And can we have more bathrooms? So he actually did, install some more bathrooms. So thank you, Louis the 15th. That's pretty much his legacy. And and then of course,
bathroom boy.
Right after Louis the 15th was Louis the 16th. And that is the Marie Antoinette guy. If we know her, she got her head, she let him eat cake, you know, that stuff, which she like probably didn't say and blah, 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 whatever. But they got their heads chopped off.
La, la, la.
They got, and then that was pretty much the end. So King Louis the 14th was kind of the beginning of the end of the French monarchy. But he was, you know, seen as a great king and the Sun King. So you'll see if you do visit Versailles, you'll see little pictures of suns everywhere because he wants to be, you know, overruling everything. He is just like one of those.
He's got his eye on you.
Yeah, exactly. Like one of those people that like make up their own nickname. Like, okay, we got it. You like the sun.
We get it.
So
you're the Sun King.
Yeah. So, so Versailles is still like one of the most fabulous palaces of all time. And many of today's like fancy rich people artists have shown at Versailles, including Jeff Koons, Amish Kapoor, and Murakami. And I think, I don't know, I think if King Louis was like reincarnated today, he's giving me, personally, he's giving me a little bit of Kanye vibes. Like, he was really loved.
Like, if he's the person at the party, he's Kanye.
Yeah, like, he was very much loved in the beginning for his, like, great taste and his talent as a performer. And then he started getting, you know, paranoid, probably because of the intense fame. And then later, he got, like, you know, weirdly religious, and which would probably make anyone more paranoid anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I'm seeing that if we were to think.
Yeah, you know, there's like those videos of Kanye like talking to all of his group that I think his entourage, if you will, and he's always like saying these kind of like these outlandish ideas, right?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, totally. Like agreeing with everything he says, because if they don't, like maybe they're like out of the
crew.
He's
exiled. Yes.
That, and there's like some paranoia there maybe.
And like
maybe some like men and like definitely some mental health stuff, like trauma.
Yeah, definitely some baggage.
Yeah. Adds up.
But now,
You know, I was going to say Charles Manson because it's like the cult thing.
The culty stuff. Right. Yeah. But I'm thinking like culty and fashion too. Like he is really trying to do fashion. He makes his girlfriends wear like weird shit. And like, if you don't wear this, you'll be exiled. You know, you can't hang out with me if you don't wear this weird bodysuit.
That's like a lot of power. not anything we could probably understand. Today.
We got sprinkles of it, I think, in the fashion world and probably a little bit of the art world too, of, you know, status symbols when it comes to buying art.
Tomorrow.
You can actually stay at the fully refurbished historic building in Versailles for about $2,000 a night and run around with a powdered wig, if that's your prerogative.
I would love to do that.
There are showers now, so you can stay and like shower there. But
listen, I'm not going if I can't bring my pee pee poo poo.
I know, I'm going there stinky. Like I want like, to just immerse myself in the 17th century.
History.
Exactly, just go in there stinking.
Thank it up.
So that was our gossip topic for today. Thank you so much for listening to our first podcast
ever. The first one. Oh,
I know.
It's just been, so fun.
So if you like us and want to be a part of the Baroque bitch lifestyle, seriously, I'd
be a Baroque.
I would fucking cry if they like us. And that's like amazing. And you're obviously hella cool. Then subscribe. Check us out on Instagram to look at art. Dope ass merch is coming soon.
Yeah, and I thought, we'll definitely put some of the imagery, some memes. On the Instagram.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe even a TikTok.
Yeah, because I know you guys are visual learners. And
I'm a visual learner.
Yeah, so we're going to have some, you know, some things to go along with each podcast coming up. And
listen and look.
Exactly.
Listen and look.
If you want to be a part of us and your lives, that would be so, I would literally fucking cry. That'd be amazing. All right.
I mean, we would love it. Okay. Well, yeah. Tune in next week.
Love you.
Another Baroque baby.
Yay.
It'll be my turn.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Okay, bye.
I just fade away.
I feel